Hi, welcome in to the Jared Stillman Show. I am not Jared Stillman today. This is Big Joe. There's a lot of vacations going on around the 102.5 The Game studios, so we've kind of mix and match and put people here and there. So it's all good, though. We're going to have a lot of fun today until 6 o'clock today. I'm here with you Monday through Thursday, Friday back to my regular 9-11 schedule, but I'm excited. I'm excited today to bring in my dear friend, special co-host today and tomorrow, the great Jill Jelinek from Fox 17. Woo-woo! Jill, it's so good to see you.
What up, what up? Thanks for having me, Big Joe. I'm honored to help you co-host today. You know, the summer months are a little slower, but I think it's always fun to bring the energy, talk some good sports, and have some good conversations. I'm excited.
Did you have a good weekend?
Great, great.
You're always going somewhere.
I always.
Where were you last weekend?
I know
weekend?
You're supposed to be Big Joe on the go. I'm little Jill on the go.
I don't do anything. You're always going.
Can't. It's hard for me to stay put, especially in a city this fun. I had a wedding in Texas the weekend before. That was awesome. Got to practice my two-step and take some tequila shots. And then 4th of July, Joe, this was my first 4th of July in Nashville. I've been here 3 years, but I've always been traveling during 4th of July. And I was like, you know what? Let's pull the trigger. Let's just do it. Let's go downtown. And me and my boyfriend, we got tickets to Acme Feed and Seed. And let me tell you something.
Right.
Best view in the house. It
it's
was awesome. The drones were great. Fireworks were great. I think I recovered this morning. So now I'm ready for the show.
Welcome in.
Thank
a few years
you.
Ago,
Thank
somebody
you.
Was down at Acme Feed and Seed for 4th of July. And look over and Tom Cruise was there.
Oh, my God.
They were like, this is like 18 or 19 back then. There he was.
Was he shooting a movie? Was he going off
the Acme roof into
the river?
The comment was about Tom Cruise, like, I can't believe how short he is.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that. Yeah.
I've never seen him in person.
I heard he wears kind of like platform shoes
when
he's acting. Yeah, like little wedge.
Tom, like Mickey and Seinfeld doing that. You shouldn't do that. We're
going
to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk a lot of football today, things that are happening in the world. Of course, SEC Media Days are a week from today.
Ooh.
That's going to roll through. So it's kind of the quiet before the storm. And the Titans report 2 weeks from tomorrow?
Tomorrow. 15 days, Joe. It's like 14 days, 8 hours, 36 minutes. I'm keeping track. But yes, they report on the 23rd. First practice is going to be the next day, the 24th.
Isn't it crazy how time flies? Because it's like I'm sitting here getting the announcement that Mike Vrabel's been fired. And now it's like camp is here.
Yeah. Oh, boom. Right there.
Where were you that did that announcement that day?
Off work. I'm always off work when breaking news happens.
Yes.
I believe it was either a Monday or Tuesday. And I think I was a lot of us, I don't want to speak for everyone in the local media, but it
right.
came out as a little bit of a shock. And
it did?
And I remember just being like, I'm not even going to look. My boss called me. Hey, did you hear? And I was like, don't even tell me. I'm coming in. Like, I was like, okay, this is big. I got to come in. Sure enough.
Yeah. I mean, there were rumblings, and you hear rumblings and ramblings and grumblings all the time.
Yeah.
And then it was pulled, and, you know, he was gone. And next thing you know, it's Callahan's here, and then camp is around the corner.
Right.
And it's we laugh because it's the quiet before the storm, because you,
I
did it for many years. You're still at Fox 17. You'll spend so many hours and days over there.
A lot of sweat and tears. I'm not going to say blood, but for media, I'm going to say sweat and tears
right.
on my end.
Yeah. There it is. Plus, you carry your own camera, so it's not like you get to go over there and sit
in the shade. Whenever it is nice whenever I do get a pair of hands, but training camp, we got to get as much B-roll. You know,
yeah.
We got to get – there's so many new players. I mean, the wide receiver core alone, like I need to spend at least two periods shooting them in order to get enough of Hopkins, Boyd, and also Ridley. Like it's a madhouse, and so you definitely earn your stripes during training
you
camp.
You do. Who was the – let me ask you this, because you carry your own camera and you bust your tail all the time. Who's the one guy that you did an interview with by yourself? We had the camera where it almost broke your neck.
Oh, man. A couple of them, man. Tight end. Was it not? It was one of the older tight ends. I want to say, was it Austin Hooper, maybe?
Could be. He's a big boy.
Yeah. The tight ends kill me. They just, they kill me. You know, wide receivers are tall, right? But they're not nearly as tall sometimes or big as the wide receivers.
Right.
Derrick Henry, I still have to, like, his legs come up to my chest.
Yeah.
So I have a great picture on my social media, me interviewing King Henry, and my mic is so high, it looks like I'm about to hit his mouth.
Oh, he's huge. I go back. Luke Kornet. I'd interview Luke.
There you go.
7'2".
Yeah.
And halfway through it, I said, I can't do this. He's like, what do you mean? I said, I can't. I've got to know. I got two questions in. My back hurts. Go have yourself a good day. I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. At least it's not basketball, like, Joe, right? Yeah. We don't have an NBA team yet. But, I mean, that it could be worse, I guess.
You're correct about that. All right, our question of the day, and we love our question today because these audience, you guys are fantastic. Jill and I talked about that. It's really college football heavy today and a lot of Titans in the latter part of the show. But what's the one game, the one college football game, if you could not go to any other game and had to go to one game this year, what college football game would you go to? We want your responses at 615-737-1025. You can get on Twitter. You can get us on the YouTube chat. Our message line's down for right now. We'll figure that later on. But, yeah, what's the one game? And I ask you this, Joe. What's the one game in college football this year that you want to see?
Okay. For me, it's got to be – it's got to be – can I can't pick two.
Of course you can.
Okay.
This is our show today.
I know. I'm having a hard time. I'm going back and forth between these two because, again, with the SEC, the realignment, we have 16 teams. We also have five new head coaches, if you include Steve Sarkisian from Texas, Brent Venables from Oklahoma. Those two, I'm going to throw in the five, along with Jeff Lebby, new head coach of Mississippi State, Mike Elko for Texas A&M, which is interesting, and then, of course, Alabama's new coach, Kalen DeBoer.
Okay.
So, for me, I still think that Alabama-Georgia game, September 28th, even though it's DeBoer's first one, first year with Alabama, first big SEC game. I'm going to say that one's interesting to me. And then the other one is going to be Ole Miss, Georgia, November 9th.
Ooh.
Kiffin, Kirby Smart, it's going down.
That's
one. That's going to be, yes, okay. It is in Oxford. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That one's a big one.
All right, so we agree.
I'm looking at those two.
We agree at the first one, and that's the Georgia-Alabama game.
Because 100%.
That could be a massive paradigm shift in college football. And here's also my other thing with this. And Alabama fans, don't hate me, but you know I'm right on this. If Georgia comes in there and pushes Bama around, they're going to get on DeBoer like immediately. I mean, immediately. It's not going to be pretty. I'm telling you, it's not going to be pretty. That could be the big shift in college football this year, that one game. And I think Georgia right now is the better football team. And don't come at me because Texas beat Alabama. Look what happened last year.
That's last year.
Yeah, that's
last year. Come at me with any arguments from last year.
Yeah, so this is Saban gone and what's happening now. But I'm totally with you. And that game, Saturday night, 6:30, national TV.
It's also early in the season. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting to me because if DeBoer doesn't get – it rolling quick. September 28th is when it's at Alabama, is when Georgia goes to Tuscaloosa.
Right.
And if DeBoer doesn't have his ship tight, and by middle of September, it's going to be a bloodbath. I agree with you. It could get ugly.
You worked in Chattanooga. You covered Kirby and him his first couple of years down there?
First year for Kirby. Yeah. Yes, first year for Kirby. And the end of the Butch Jones era as well. My favorite SEC game of all time that I covered, 2016, Josh Dobbs Hail Mary.
Where were you?
I was in the end zone shooting.
That end zone?
I was in, and here's the funny thing. I almost didn't walk down because if you remember, right before, Georgia scored with their tight end in the back left corner, and I go, I got the game-winning shot. And then there was just enough 12 seconds,
something like that.
15. Yep. And I go, I have busted up and down the sideline the whole game. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it one more darn time. And I am so gosh darn glad I did. I remember in the air, Dobbs throws it up. And I'm like, do not miss this shot. Do not miss this shot. Do not miss this shot. And sure enough, it was Juwan Jennings.
That's right. Yeah.
Who came down with a catch.
He sure did.
Last time the Vols beat Georgia.
Yeah.
2016, end of the Butch Jones era. Isn't that crazy?
That is.
So, yes, I have a lot. I'm not from the South. I'm from the West Coast. But my career, my sports broadcasting career, has been raised in the SEC.
Did you run on the field after that? Because there was like
just
this.
They couldn't contain us. They could not contain us. Good. Everybody started running. And I was like, well, I'm running too. I want this shot too.
Well, I remember the shot of Butch and went to one knee.
Yes.
You couldn't see that because obviously you're on the field in the middle of all that.
But. We were going for the dog pile, but someone else was smart and said, let me get this shot of Butch Jones, because that was a good one.
I don't think we'll ever forget that.
No.
I mean, that's an iconic game of all time.
Vols fans, never.
And you're sitting right there watching. It had to be something like, what did I just witness? Did you have time to breathe?
No. No time to think. And then I had to turn the package, get it back. I was by myself. Nobody to help me.
Oh, wow.
It was the hardest and most rewarding college football game I've ever covered.
Oh, I'm sure. Up and down. I had friends in the Tennessee coaching staff in the booth when Georgia scored, went ahead. They had Georgia fans beating on the window, shooting the coaching staff birds, yelling at them.
Yep.
When that play happened, the Tennessee coaching staff had to go through the stands to get to the locker room.
Because it was
and
that crazy.
My buddy was like, the Georgia fans were like in shock. And he goes, I said, what were y'all doing? He's like, oh, we were talking, you know what?
Yep.
Running
yep.
down. Like, how do you like us now? And screaming at him going down the,
how do you like me now?
Going down for all that. So, all right. So the other game you had was Georgia at Ole Miss.
Georgia at Ole Miss. I think that one pops up to me because I think that Lane Kiffin, that Lane train, it has not stopped for the last 2 years. If you look at his record, he had 11 wins the last season, I believe 10 the year before.
Right.
I would argue he is the hottest coach right now only because Georgia got left out last year, right? I would argue the Ole Miss Rebels and that Lane train, hottest train right now in the SEC. I think that, you talk about a paradigm shift.
Right.
That could be it.
Does it influence you at all knowing that Lane Kiffin's never won anything?
No. If anything, it makes me believe what is it? Law of averages?
Yep. It's time.
We talk about no dynasties in this, or how we're about to enter an era, especially with the change in the SEC, the change in the college football format, playoff format, excuse me. I think we are about to enter an era of less and less dynasties. And I think unfortunately, it's still going to come from the SEC. So we're still going to be an SEC dynasty for a while.
Even though
Michigan won last year, I still think the SEC's time is right now. But I think that game, it's November 9th. It is in Oxford. Mm-hmm. Georgia coming there, kind of the end of the season. Who knows how banged up we're going to be, right? Who knows what's going to happen before? I think that's huge. And remember, this is the first year since 1991, no divisions in the SEC, which means whoever has the most wins at the end of the season, those two teams face off in the championship, and that's something I'm really excited about.
I'm with you on that one. I got a question off of that, too.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask it to you now. You can let it think about during the break. I want to hear from you as well. Does it matter if you win the SEC championship anymore? Because let me tell you this. You got an extra game you got to play. So do you need that to get – it's kind of, think about it. I mean, do you need –
Okay, I see where you're going. Because specifically with this new 12-team playoff format, not as much. It does not mean as much because you win that SEC championship, they got to put you in that four, right? That was the case last year with Alabama.
Yeah,
that was huge. Now going from 4 to 12, that SEC championship doesn't mean as much, but that 12-team format, it's going to give you an advantage.
Yeah, and see, I will talk about this after the break. I'm a purist. I want championships.
Yeah, I'm too. I'm with you there, too.
But is it now important? I don't know. We'll get into that. All right, so our question today, what's the one college football game that you're most looking for? Just one. We gave Jill, we let her have two because she's our guest today. You get that. But the one game that stands out that you're looking forward to that you can't wait. This is the Jared Stillman Show. Big Joe, Jill Jelinek filling in for Jared today right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, it's your good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee.
All right, welcome back into Stillman and Company here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Big Joe and Jill Jelinek in today.
Woo-hoo!
Jared Stillman on a little vacation. Oh, is that my stupid phone? I'm so sorry.
Come on,
my kid
Big
in here
Joe.
To figure my phone out for me.
Big Joe on the go.
Right there. Our question of the day, and it's funny, some of you guys have weighing in, have called in. What's the one college football game you're most looking forward to? Jake says he stole my thunder too, man, because this was the most important game I thought for Auburn this year. It's when Oklahoma goes to Auburn.
Ooh, yeah.
And that is on Saturday, September the 28th. That's the same day of Georgia-Alabama.
Yeah, that's going to be a big weekend.
I think Oklahoma will not know what hits them when they roll into Auburn on that day. Have you been to a game at Auburn?
At Auburn? No, I have not been over to Auburn.
So loud, and they're going to go crazy down there welcoming Oklahoma. So I think that's Oklahoma's welcoming moment, too. the SEC. But we want to hear from you guys, 615-737-1025. The one game you're looking forward to this year in college football. And it's just intriguing, that Georgia-Alabama game, because I really think that could be the big shift in the football season if Georgia comes in there and just pushes Alabama around. Remember, Alabama's going to play at Wisconsin 2 weeks before that. That's not a gimme.
No.
Alabama, yeah, is a better team. They should probably win that game, but who knows?
I was also, speaking of Alabama in this first year with Kalen DeBoer, another potential upset, if we're looking at maybe upsets right there. How about Mizzou, Eli Drinkwitz at Alabama, October 19th?
Yeah, what is up with Mizzou?
He's done a nice job turning over that roster, bringing in guys, whether it's from the transfer portal, and he's done a nice job over the last two seasons. Drinkwitz is coming off easily his best season with Mizzou, and to catch an Alabama team with their pants down. Do people still say that?
They just did.
Okay. Well, I just did. Yeah. I think I want to circle that one as a potential upset, mini paradigm shift.
Yeah. And you know, and people are like, well, look, I'm telling you, this is an Alabama program. We have not seen somebody at the helm since 2006. That's not Nick Saban, right?
Uncharted waters.
And you had Mike Shula before that. And you know, people like to downplay it. Mike Shula, whatever. Look, Mike Shula kept your program afloat until Saban got in there and did the amazing job that he did right there. Mm-hmm. But Drinkwitz at Missouri, you know, I saw Middle almost beat him last year. I'm like, same old Missouri. I'd say he's turning a good program up there now. Yeah. I mean, good for him.
He's just in the best conference, right? It's all about playing in this SEC, having your best game against the best teams. And unfortunately, that's every single weekend in the Southeastern Conference.
Are you shocked he didn't leave?
No,
because usually at a school like Missouri, if you do well, they're coming for you.
Yes, but he's in the best conference. Where was he going to go? Alabama?
I don't know.
You know, I don't know. I think they clearly like what he's doing there, kind of like the Mark Stoops effect, right? Like Kentucky is not your perennial powerhouse when it comes to college football, but Mark Stoops has been able to crank out winning seasons and go to back-to-back bowl games for a long time now, and they like that fit. They're just hoping for that paradigm shift, which could happen this year.
When does the Stoops, though, that – you're not, we need more. I mean, that's great. You got eight wins.
Correct.
But now we need more.
Well, yeah. That's a great question. I mean, I think I've always been a fan of Mark Stoops and what he's done. They've pulled off some upsets. They've been able to kind of hang in the race for as long as they can. Again, back-to-back bowl games. It comes with time. And I guess when, especially with this new era of transfer portal and NIL, if they don't see any sort of jump, right? Because this is where coaches can potentially gain on others in the SEC. Oh, we were making some good deals here. We're bringing in players. We have our system set up where they have their safe deals, right? Everything's by the book, but it's good. But they want to come to Kentucky. They could potentially make some gains on some teams this year, especially when you have five of these 16 SEC schools with first-time coaches in the SEC.
Oh, I totally agree. And Stoops has been there since 2013. He's the longest now tenured coach in the SEC. And I mean, he's got them to a respectable level, but at one point, they're like, all right, we've seen enough.
It might be now. It might be now.
Let's see. Let me ask you this. Tennessee Vols. I think the most important game – look, I think they beat Oklahoma.
I love
I think they go to Oklahoma, and I think they win one for Heupel. I think Heupel's pointing that game. The schedule sets up nine. They play Chattanooga, NC State.
Yep.
They can knock off I think they beat Oklahoma and Norman because I think they win one for the coach. But I'm telling you, that game against Florida in Neyland is going to be massively important because that's a time you can really just push Florida so far away. And then who comes to Neyland the week after Florida?
Ooh.
Alabama.
That's going to easily the two biggest games of Tennessee Vols schedule is right there. But it starts with that Florida game, and that's going to be October 12th in Neyland. And especially, Joe, because they lost to Florida last year, and that was I still think that one stinks. Think that one stings in Vol Nation and with this Coach Heupel crew. So I think that Florida game, October 12th, Vols, that's a must win to me. Right? And then take that momentum from hopefully that win and roll on over and take down the Crimson Tide.
Okay.
But do that, and now we're talking that's October 19th. They host Alabama. Now you're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games away from the SEC championship.
Oh, Jill, we got a phone call.
Ooh,
ah, let's go to the 102.5, 106.3
phone line. First phone call for the Joe and Jill show.
Yes, weigh in. Ian, do we have a name for him?
Yes, we do. This is Jack in Rivergate.
Jack.
Jack, what's happening, brother?
I'm following you around, Big Joe.
Welcome, Jack.
Jack, if you're going to follow me around, you have to bring food.
Just let me know where and when.
All right, what's going on, man?
I am going to be a very interested consumer of college football because I don't think, by and large, your regular SEC homer realizes just what is fixing to happen, letting in Texas and Oklahoma on top of Coach Saban retiring.
So what do you think is getting ready to happen?
Well, you haven't let in another Kentucky and Vanderbilt.
True.
You've let in another Georgia and Alabama. And then on top of that, just like Bama and Auburn was always an in-state rivalry, now you got Texas and A&M. Then you got Texas versus Oklahoma, which was always as big as Florida, Georgia.
Right.
And I think Alabama is just not going to be the same no matter what.
Now, Jack, let me ask you, are you a fan of an SEC team?
I'm just a fan of the SEC.
Attaboy.
Okay, okay. Good answer.
Not so much a particular team, you know, per se, because it's fickle. You know, before Saban was there, I can remember when Alabama couldn't find its rear end with both hands and a spotlight.
That was a while ago, Jack.
But I mean, you know, we all know just how fast that can happen again.
Oh,
with
no.
You're
correct.
A couple of bad breaks.
You're good. Jack,
yeah,
you're right.
Plus, I can't wait for UT to play UT. That's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, which UT are you pulling for in that one?
Well, I was born and raised in Texas, so
you'll just have to
figure that out.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Jack. Appreciate you, brother.
Okay, buddy.
That's another debate. The real UT. Now,
the real UT.
I grew up in Tennessee. I'm here, but isn't it what came first, right? Didn't Tennessee came before Texas?
Ooh,
did we not go down there and save their ass?
Yeah.
Is that right, Ian? You're a history guy. You're a smart guy.
I don't know about that, but I do think University of Tennessee is pretty old.
Yeah. So we got the Volunteer nickname, right? Because we went down to Texas and saved their butt or helped them out or did something.
Okay. I'll take your word for it on that.
University of Texas at Austin. By the way, did you guys know that UT is actually UTA, just like UTK? 1883. And the Vols... The University of Tennessee
1798.
Ooh, here we go. University of Tennessee. 1794.
Okay.
Wow, that's impressive.
Close.
That was pretty
that
was pretty darn close.
I just know we're older than that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So they have to default to us.
Well, and it's so ironic that both schools rep orange, shades of orange,
yeah.
Right? Like, it'd be one thing if it was blue and orange, red and orange, but both schools are shades of orange, which is kind of hilarious when you think about it. And now they're playing against each other.
Yes.
The sports gods come together. Give us the ultimate conundrum.
Yeah. Can we have a history teacher call in and please explain the Volunteer parks? I fell asleep in civics class at McGavick during that. But I think it's why we got the name, because we went down and helped them out. And some, was it the Alamo? I mean, I know we lost that, but we went down and helped them. Am I wrong on this?
Are you talking about because of volunteers?
Yeah.
That's how I don't know that.
Yeah. I know you're from the West Coast.
You
get a pass.
I get a pass. But it would, if someone knows that, please call in and educate us, because
us
we
know.
Are not educated.
All right, so we'll take a break. We'll come back on the other side. I want to ask you another football question, but this is a high school football question.
Ooh.
And something I think they should do. And people I've talked to have said, absolutely, but it will never happen. But I want your opinion on this. Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 in today with me. This is Stillman & Company. Big Joe sitting in. Jared will be back next week or sometime. He'll be back. Don't worry about it. He'll be back, and we'll have fun in the meantime. All right, that question for Jill is next. This is Stillman & Company right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to... Ooh, there we go. Welcome back. I mean, I'm telling Joe how to turn the button on. I don't even know how to turn the button on.
It's the big red one that's right, on, Joe.
Welcome back to Stillman & Company here on 102.5, 106 for the game. Jared is off for a while. I'm in here today with Jill Jonick from Fox 17. So we have a lot of fun. Now, we put a I got a topic for Jill we'll talk about in a moment, but we talked about this UT versus UT, which is to be first because Tennessee became first. That should be the real UT. And that's how we get the volunteer name, right?
Right.
So we ask for people to call in.
Yes, educate us, please. And we have a caller from Murfreesboro. He's on the line now. What can you tell us? Tell us what's your name and please.
Oh, he was on the line.
Us.
He has dropped. No. He has since dropped.
Okay. He's dropped.
So it's still a mystery.
It's some Texas fan calling in.
Oh,
yeah, we're too lazy to Google. We like the interaction from our audience. So if you're a history teacher, weigh in for us because this is going to be a thing that's going to be discussed about it the whole time. Like, which is the real UT? Now, people in Texas aren't going to buy into this. People in Tennessee are not going to buy into that. So, but Tennessee became first, right?
Yeah, so they should be the real UT. But our question is, where did the volunteer name come from?
Yeah, too lazy to Google. We want the history teacher to call them. We'll do that. All right, so Jill, here's my question.
Yeah.
All right, you love high school football. I love high school football. Chase loves high school football. And I pitched this out there, and I think it would be – it will never happen. But what would go on if on a Friday, instead of Blackman or instead of Blackman versus Riverdale at 7 o'clock, they played at noon on a Friday?
Oh, man. I've never envisioned high school football in any other time.
One game a week.
Spot.
I know people are like, oh, what about school? Blah, blah, blah. What about you build it up, man? That one day, you have a pep rally in the morning, the game's at noon. All the students have to go. You have to go to the game.
Wow.
It would pack out stadiums every Friday at noon.
As opposed to at night.
Yeah.
I don't know, Joe.
I would love if a high school football said, we're going to play this game at noon on a Friday.
I'll be honest. I think the Friday Night Lights hype is where it's at. Right, you go through the pep rallies during the school days. The teachers wear jeans and Hawaiian shirts because it's Friday and to hype up the big game. The media, we're doing our previews leading into the game, and the fans trickle in. Cheerleaders. I'm thinking from a logistics perspective.
Don't.
Okay.
Take Jill Jonick, wonderful sports reporter, hat off as a fan.
Okay, having covered high school football in Texas.
Uh-huh.
Tennessee and North Carolina, it's going to be blazing hot. And I'm going to say there will not be nearly as many people in the stands. I still think the Friday night nostalgia, that is the magic.
Okay.
That is what takes people out of their homes to go witness football when they don't even like football. Maybe they're just going for their neighbor's kid. Maybe they're going for their grandma's niece or their cousins, blah, blah, blah. They may not have even a horse in the game, but they go out on Friday night because the Friday night lights are the magic, the history, the tradition. And you change that, you make it a noon game, I'm going to say that nostalgia and that magic goes away.
But you've got nine other Fridays to experience that. I'm going to come at you, man. I'm on this. I'm going to make it happen somehow, some way before I leave planet Earth and the good Lord calls me home. I'm going to make this happen at one game I want to see. We had games before when ESPN, there was like Beach played Station Camp when Jalen Hurd and Josh Malone were in high school and then Blackman and like it was Riverdale, Oakland played one in Murfreesboro, all that. That was on a Sunday at 9 o'clock in the morning. It didn't work.
Yeah.
But you would make every kid in that school like, you have to go to the game. You get out of class. I know it'll never happen because, oh, well, you're messing school, whatever. But I would love to see it on that one Friday. All the kids go. You do the prep rallies in the morning.
I think that's where the pep rallies is. You make the kids go to the pep rally and try to get them to go to the game at night.
You have to go to the game. We are making you go to the football game on Friday.
It sounds so far-fetched to me. I can't even wrap my head around it. I cannot picture high school football.
But you're out there. You cover high school football better than just about anybody in Middle Tennessee.
Thanks,
so
Joe.
You know, there is passionate high school football fans out there.
Yes. I've always liked the Saturday, the one Saturday game, right? Maybe the Saturday game's a little earlier. You don't have to deal with the school aspect, but I don't know. I'm having a hard time picturing it. We'd love to hear what you have to say. And I believe we have a caller on the line that hopefully is weighing in. Help me out. Help me wrap my head around this noon high school football game. Is it Steven that's on the line with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Steven, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thanks for having me.
And please let us know what you think. Help me out. Help me and Joe out in this discussion, because I can't imagine a world with high school football at noon on Friday.
That sounds noon on Friday. That's interesting. It cuts into lunchtime. No, I had an answer for the whole why Tennessee is called
yes.
the Volunteers.
Yes, please.
All right. So I spent all but 3 years of my life in the South. I love the SEC. I love football, and I love the SEC. I'm not a fan of Tennessee, but I am a bit of a history buff. So me loving football and history and whatnot, I could tell you histories of different other teams other than just the one I like. Anyways, but when it comes to Tennessee, a few things I learned after living in Knoxville for 12 years.
There we go.
Was the reason why they're called the Volunteers is, yes, the Tennessee sent the most militia aid to Texas during, I believe it was, now this is where I'm a little fuzzy, during like either the Spanish-American War or something like that, but it was a conflict that Texas was a part of, and they're already a state in the Union, and Tennessee just happened to be the state that provided the most volunteer militia aid. So that's where Tennessee got the name Volunteers.
And that's how they're called the Vols.
Yeah, so thank you for the history of that.
And,
again, we're too lazy to Google.
Why their colors are orange and red?
Yeah.
I mean, not orange and white.
Yeah.
Why?
If you go to the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, UTK, there's this place called The Hill, which is like apparently the hill is where it's called The Hill. And
right.
It's where like the first buildings of UT was placed. Well, the flowers on that hill were orange and white.
Okay.
Are you driving a race car?
Yep, and that orange happens to be called safety orange. So for useless trivia, next time you have a trivia night, there you go.
Safety orange? Is that correct?
Safety, as in, like, if you, like,
a
position safety or...
Oh, yeah, okay, wow.
I don't know. Can you call back when you're under yellow flags? We can. Thank you for the call, Steven. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Steven's at National Super Speedway. He's about 2 weeks too late on that. All right, so there we go. So we're not... Again, we can look this up, but it's better when we hear from you guys.
And if my math serves me right, because the University of Tennessee helped out Texas back in the day, therefore UT of Knoxville is the real UT.
According to him with
that's the SEC math for you
as well. All right, so a friend of mine weighs in and says, Joe, that idea on the noon high school football seems outlandish. The more I think about it, the more I love it. Thank you for that, Danny, for the phone call.
Oh, and also we got another texter. This may or may not be from my mom in California. Battle of New Orleans, during the war of 1812. So there's the war. Shout out
What's
to
your mom's
to mom.
Name?
Jean. Yeah.
Thank you, Jean, for listening
Jean.
On California in the
she's,
app.
She's a teacher. And hey, shout out, you know, we talked about, hey, we need to be more educated. Shout out to all our teachers.
Absolutely.
They work so hard.
Yeah.
Gosh darn it.
The call in. All right. So continue wrapping your head around. Our question, if you're just about joining us, I put it throughout that once in a while, big rivalry game, do it at noon on a Friday. It doesn't have to be first of August. It could be week 7, week 8.
Fall weather. Can we get the fall? Okay, if you package this as one game of the season, noon in October-ish, right? I love the fall weather in most of the South. And you tell me that every single kid from school goes to that game? Yes. I think that would be pretty darn awesome.
Ravenwood-Brentwood at noon on a Friday, mid-October.
What about the adults that work? Wouldn't it be an all kids?
You can take time off.
Game, which wouldn't be cool. It wouldn't be bad.
It'd be packed. I mean, it would be packed. You have the pep rally in the morning. You have, you know, and maybe you could. There's a chance you could put that on TV during the day on one of the, you know, MyTV30 could show it.
Yeah.
I just think it'd be fun to watch it for the kids' standpoint. A high school football game at noon on a Friday. And you hype it up.
You hype the crap out of it. Yes.
I mean, hopefully the local news stations in the morning will go out there and all that. And you have the pep rally at 9 and the team rides over at 10. I just think this would work. It'd be so cool and so different. Because I'm telling you, and we talked about this earlier before the show, college football is now getting into Friday nights.
Yeah.
And that really pisses me off.
That's my station, Fox.
Stay away from Friday night.
For those that don't know,
right.
And I think there's this kind of, to me, in the sports world, flew under the radar with all the conference realignment in college football. But on Friday nights, Fox is going to air a college football game every Friday night at 8 p.m. And a lot of the schools are going to be Mountain West, Big 10, and Big 12. So a mixture of those. You'll have some big names like the first one, Arizona at Kansas State, Friday, September 13th. The next one, Illinois at Nebraska. But my first thought was the same thing, Joe. Wait a minute. Why are we touching Friday nights?
Leave it alone.
Leave it alone. Because that is something that, again, I go back to what I said, tradition, nostalgia, camaraderie, community. Yep. One of the best TV shows of all time, Coach Taylor and Tammy Taylor, Friday Night Lights. Right. That is a real deal. And it's especially in the cities that are not major cities.
Right.
Right? Not necessarily just rural areas, but all the cities in between the big cities live, breathe, die Friday night.
Yeah, and don't make parents have to choose.
Yeah.
Like, there was a game years ago, MTSU played Louisville on a Friday night, and you had to choose.
Yeah.
Nobody wins in that. So leave it. Like, NFL can have whatever they want. College can have whatever they want. Leave Friday nights alone for high school. That's it.
I'm with you there.
Leave it alone. We're talking 3 hours on a Friday night for high school football.
Leave it alone.
And they got to dip down. Like, the NFL's opening game. They have a game on a Friday night. I know it's in Brazil.
Oh,
but
yeah,
still,
that's right. Yeah.
Stay away. You own everything else already. Stay away from Friday night high school football.
Let these high school football athletes have their night, their moment. Right. They're trying to get to that next level anyways. And when they get there, they'll play for you on Saturdays and then eventually Sundays.
Yeah.
But leave him to Friday night.
I mean, 98% of these kids won't play on us, and that's fine. And they understand that. But yeah. Leave the Friday. It just really bugged me that goes on. So if I convince you to do a high school game on a Friday
night. Yes, you have convinced me. One game in October. In October. It took you an entire segment. But yes, you convinced me.
All right. Well, that's good there. Well, I'm going to make it happen, Jill.
I like
it. Somehow, some way. Real quick, before the break, let's bring in Dylan. Calling in on
102.5-106.3.
Dylan, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Good. I was just gonna weigh in on the one game a year, I guess,
yeah.
About the playing at noon.
What do you
think?
I think
it'd be pretty cool if it was for like homecoming or something like that, like something super special, because that's already like a rivalry game.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like that'd be super super cool.
It's got to be a big one.
Yeah. As far as the volunteer state. Yeah. So that happened in 1812, and then the newspaper started like. Basically posting about it, saying, you know, Tennessee's got strong, you know, battle-minded men. And then in 1848, Texas only asked for 2,600 volunteers. And then Tennessee sent 30,000. They had 30,000 people.
Woo!
Volunteers. So
now, what was it? Was that for
that
the Alamo?
Like solidified it.
What was that for? My history's bad today.
I'm not sure. James K. Polk, the president at the time, like kind of just asked for like 2,600 dudes to come and 30,000 came. So I'm not sure what was happening at that time. I just know that's kind of solidified Tennessee.
Dylan, out of respect, Texas should default to us as the real UT, right?
Absolutely. I was born and raised.
Absolutely. Yes.
For a while. And so I love Texas, but I mean, they kind of just have to hand it over.
There
you know?
We go. Yeah. Dylan, right. Thank you, my man.
Thank you, Dylan.
No problem. You guys have a good one.
All right. All right. We'll take a break now. Jill, you worked in San Antonio.
Yeah. 3 years. Yeah. And again, Friday Night Lights in Texas. That's something else.
So let's get your, not love, let's get your thoughts on Texas and the UT because you lived there. I mean,
yeah. I covered the Longhorns for a little bit too. Austin's Ooh. Not far from Texas. There were no Lamborghinis at that time.
Right.
That was before NIL. So God. I can't speak to the Lamborghinis that are rumored to be there now, but I can tell you the facilities are big. And I will tell you, those summers are very, very hot. You got to weigh that in.
Man. All right. More with Jill Jonick, Fox 17, sitting in for Jared Stillman. This is Stillman & Company. Big Joe and Jill Jonick filling in right now. We want to hear from you, 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company. We'll be back in just a minute. All right, welcome back to Stillman & Company here on 102.5, 106 for the game. Jared is off for a while, so Jill Jelinek from Fox 17
hello.
In studio with me. I love the alliteration, Jill Jelinek.
Yeah.
What's your middle name?
Marie, Jillian Marie, yeah.
Jillian Marie, yeah. I like that. Okay.
The only reason I'm not a JJ is because I love alliteration and quick and nicknames in sports, you
yeah.
know? My brother's JJ, so he kind of had that one
So what's
up.
His name?
Gerald Jelinek. with a J.
Okay.
Yeah. And also my sister, Geraldine Jelinek, Jean Jelinek, and Jerry Jelinek. We are actually all JJs.
The whole family.
The whole dang family.
What's mm-hmm. your dad's name?
Jerry with a J.
Okay. Jerry's one of those names that commands respect. You don't hear much anymore.
Jerry. Yeah. Hey, Jerry.
Jerry's going to fix it.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Yeah, he will.
Jerry's on it.
Coach Jerry. He's got it. He's got it covered.
All right. So, Jill, you worked in San Antonio for a while.
Yeah.
You got to cover Texas.
Yes.
And I don't think for a lot of us don't understand the passion Texas football fans have. And we have it here as well for Tennessee. But you live there and you work. And plus, Texas, we think, has the easiest schedule.
We talked about this even before right. the show when we were looking at the best games for the most exciting games in the SEC this year. And I was kind of just glancing at Texas's schedule. And I was like, you know what? I'll be honest. Looking at all the other SEC teams, I think Texas has it the easiest. Now hear me out. I think we could talk all day about the non-conference teams, right? They play for non-conference. Texas plays Colorado State, Michigan, UTSA. UTSA is no joke. I covered them for 3 years. University of Louisiana Monroe, right? So I think those right there for non-conference, they should beat them. They absolutely should, but they
so
might.
You think they take Michigan down?
I do. I think Michigan coming off of their big year last year is not going to be able to live up to the same hype this year. But if you look at Texas's SEC schedule, they start with Mississippi State. Then they host Oklahoma. They're home. Texas is home the first three SEC games. They host Mississippi State. They host Oklahoma. And then my favorite, one of my favorites, October 19th, they host Georgia. That's going to be the hardest one for them, hands down. But then they take on Vandy, Florida, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Texas A&M, who has a new first-year head coach. So I'm sorry, if they can get through Oklahoma and Georgia 2-0, I think they handle the rest easy, and they're in the SEC championship.
I see a trap game after the Georgia game. I'm kidding.
Which one would it be? Vandy?
They'll beat Vandy by 1,000.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Plus, from a very good friend over in Vanderbilt, they sold out all the season tickets.
Good.
And
not surprised.
I was told, I can't confirm this, there's nothing, but just that a lot of Texas fans bought Vanderbilt season tickets.
They travel. They absolutely travel well. And especially with this new Steve Sarkisian era. And who's their quarterback?
Quinn Ewers,
but also in the running is Manning. Archie.
He's not very good.
I haven't
Somebody
heard enough.
He has an unsafe. Yeah.
I'm still saying his name in terms of, hey, let's not forget this guy because his last name brings a lot of weight and a lot of pressure. But I still think that would maybe drive a lot of people to maybe go to that game in Vanderbilt.
Yeah, right. And see that. But, you know, I will give Arch Manning credit. You know, he didn't transfer.
No.
He didn't say, well, I can't play. I'm going to go. And I think he knows that. I don't know him. I just read reports that he's soaking all this up behind Quinn Ewers. He'll have his time.
Yeah.
You know, I just – somebody said he hadn't pushed Quinn Ewers enough to take over that role. So, I don't know.
On the flip side, who I think has the hardest SEC schedule, it's going to be the Sooners. It's going to be Oklahoma. I think – their non-conference schedules, it's okay. It's Temple, Houston, Tulane. Those should be winnable games for Oklahoma. But then they open up SEC play hosting the Tennessee Vols September 21st.
And now, do you think Tennessee wins that game?
I do. I think Coach Heupel, on his fourth year, building momentum,
right.
Also still a little sour after last year, I think they're going to have that heavyweight punch back that Oklahoma is going to be missing their first year in the SEC. I really do. So I would take the Vols over Oklahoma.
Well, I just think how it ended badly for him at Oklahoma, and that burns in him.
Great point.
And, you know, to bring it up, like, I get to go back now with my team on my account, on my everything, going to a place where I kind of grew up and was kind of unceremoniously dumped. And I think Tennessee goes in there and puts a pounding on them.
I'm with you. And then after Tennessee, Oklahoma has to take on Auburn on the road, Texas on the road.
Ugh.
They host South Carolina. They have to take on Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, who I think is my favorite.
Is that on the road or is that home?
On the road.
Oh,
that's in Oxford.
Goodness.
And then they have Missouri on the road, which, I don't think that's going to be an easy one for Oklahoma by any means with Drinkwitz. And then, oh, yeah, hey, how about you round off your SEC schedule with Alabama and LSU? Alabama is in Norman, LSU in Baton Rouge. So hands down to me, Oklahoma has the hardest SEC schedule, which, again, this goes back to our big point. There's no divisions anymore. First time since 1991. There's no West, there's no East, which gave a lot of advantage if you were in that East, because the East just was nowhere near as dominant as that West, right, in my opinion. So I think I'd love to believe we're going to have a lot of good competition. I would love to believe that everything's going to be fair. You're always going to make the argument it's not fair. Somebody has an easier, harder schedule. But I will say that Oklahoma is going to be at a slight disadvantage.
I just did the last two games. And at Bama and LSU. At LSU.
Kick you while you're down.
I mean, that's 4-8.
And maybe we're wrong, Joe. Maybe Oklahoma and the Sooners come out, you know, just like our caller Jack said, maybe Texas and Oklahoma run the table. I don't see it that way, but you never know.
Yeah, that's going to be so tough for Oklahoma to do all that. And then the Texas, all the games at home and happening. We kind of discussed earlier about Tennessee, their big game, I think the Florida-Alabama game. But I go back. I think that the tone setter, if that's even a word, is the Georgia-Alabama game. I just think if Georgia comes in there and just shoves them around and beats them pretty good, I think Alabama fans are going to be like, no, we didn't sign up for this.
That's early. That's September 28th at Tuscaloosa. That's going to be ugly. That's gonna be a big one. I did write down. We talked about the Florida at Tennessee. I think that's gonna be easily one of the biggest games for Tennessee in terms of making sure they're getting back on that right side from last year. And then again, I go back to Ole Miss hosting Georgia November 9th. I think that's going to be a big one you want to circle on your calendar.
As I tell people live, you don't want to be Ray, and I'm much older than you are, Jill, so this is another kind of parable that I throw out there all the time. You don't want to be the Ray Perkins in life to the Bear Bryant. So when Bear Bryant stepped down at Alabama, Ray Perkins took over the job. And he could not live up to the hype of Bear Bryant. It works in jobs, it works in sports, it works everywhere. Don't follow the king or the queen. Like, you know, when Pat passed away in Knoxville, was it Holly Warlick that took over after that? I mean, there's no way that she was going to get to that next level because you're following one of the most iconic people who's ever been in sports. Bear Bryant's that way. Saban's that way. I mean, so it's a job, I don't know. And look, I get you're taking the job at Alabama.
I was just going to say, do you blame Kalen DeBoer for taking over, right? You have a huge opportunity in front of you. You can't say no to that if you're
I know. That's the kind of the conundrum is like, yeah, you know what you got to fight against. And, I mean, Ray Perkins was a beloved alumni of Alabama. Bear Bryant handpicked him. And it still is
that
like,
is blessing.
No. Like, no, we're not. And he got out and Bill Curry takes over.
And you know what, Joe? Maybe we're not giving Coach DeBoer enough credit. Maybe he's going to surprise us. Maybe, you know, he did what he did at Washington without having those big financial influences of the SEC, right? That conference, nowhere near anything close to the SEC. But what he did at UW is nothing to be overlooked, and that's exactly why Alabama went right after him. So I love giving coaches the benefit of the doubt, because I swear in this day and age the leash is too short for these guys. It's exhausting. We have five new coaches in the SEC. Three of them are first year head coaches in this conference,
and the leash is short.
The leash is short.
I mean, it used to be five, then it was three. I think now it's two. I think teams know, athletic directors know. After that first year, like, whether we got something or not.
They want quick turnarounds.
They do. All right, that's it. First hour flew by, Jill.
What? It's already 1 hour? What? Yeah. It feels like 5 minutes.
I know. So the next hour, a lot of Titans talk coming your way because they report to training camp in 15 days. We'll have a lot of fun with that. Jill Jonick in for Jared Stillman, the Stillman & Company. Big Joe here. We got you till 6 o'clock today. Much, much more coming right here on Stillman & Company and 102.5, 106.3 The Game.